good to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm glad you're here. Amen. And we're already 15 seconds into my extra 15 minutes. Amen.
Yeah, well, who's coming?
You were, apparently. All right, Psalm 19, if you will. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and praise the Lord. We started the message last night about the Word of God. And I believe that the old devil hates the Word of God. And that's why we have over 300 different versions of the English Bible. It's not because we need 300 different versions of the English Bible. It's because the old devil wants to confuse us. And by the way, Christianity is confused. And all you have to do is open your eyes and understand that. There's so many different ideas about what a Christian is and how to become a Christian and all the different ideas that are in the world. Now, last night I started going through the alphabet with from A to Z concerning the Word of God. And I appreciate what Brother Rice said while we were talking last night, and all of you didn't hear it, but he said that each one of us could come up with something different for each letter. I know Brother Cranmer mentioned that he didn't guess any of them right. And but that's why I'm here. Amen. All right, Psalm 19, if you will stand with me. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this time that we can gather in your house. And Lord, I ask that you just use this old preacher again tonight, and I just ask that you'd give us exactly what we need. Please, dear God, have your will and way in this service. May the Holy Spirit of God show up in a mighty way. I pray the Spirit of God would fill me, and Lord, that I would preach with the power of the Spirit. And Lord, that as it goes forth, the Word of God, it'll penetrate hearts and do your work in each life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. We have gone A through L, so we actually haven't even got halfway through. But we're going to go as quickly as possible for the rest of the way through this alphabet for the Word of God. I believe in the Bible. Amen? Listen, if I didn't believe the Bible, there's no sense in doing what we're doing. If I didn't think we had the Word of God, we might as well just hang it up and quit, because foundations are destroyed. What would the righteous do? So we can honestly say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we have the pure Word of God. And if you listen tonight and listen quick and get your walking fingers on, we're going to go through the Scriptures tonight. And you might lick your fingers, get a little sticky, so they'll go through those pages a little faster. All right, we're starting with M. The Bible makes manifest. I want to show you over here in the book of Romans. Romans, if you will, chapter 16, the last chapter of Romans. and almost the last two verses of Romans, but chapter 16, and verses 25 and 26. The Bible makes manifest. I want you to notice in verses 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So we say, well, I don't know what it really means. What's that mean, manifest? Well, it explained it to you. It made known. You can see it. We know that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he came for a purpose. It's a mystery that's hidden to this world, but it's manifest to us through his word, the Holy Scriptures. It's not hidden from us. You know, we are the stewards of the mysteries of God. Somebody said, well, what are the mysteries of God? Well, the mysteries of God are the gospel message. And that's the mysteries of God. It's hidden to the world. The world's blinded because of the old devil, and the old devil's pulled the wool over people's eyes. And it's manifest. All you have to do is open the Word of God, and there it is. But I want to tell you something. That's exciting to me. We have a book that makes manifest. You know something? I've had people say, well, you know, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand the Bible. I've tried to read it and just don't understand it. Well, it's manifest. I mean, it's open for you. It's an open book. There's nothing hidden in this book. I had a fellow tell me, I never read the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation is so hard to understand. There's so many different things going on and all of this. I just don't understand it. My Bible says, I'm sure yours says the same thing, that you're blessed if you read it. You know, if there's a blessing there for you. You know what? All you got to do is read it. You know, some people, I just don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just got to believe it. Amen? If you just keep on reading it. You know, the first time I read the book of Revelation, I didn't understand it either, but I just kept on reading. And I'm not saying I understand every word of the book of Revelation, but I do understand a lot more than I used to years ago. Why? Because I read it. God blessed me for that. He opened my eyes that I might understand the truth from the Word of God. The Bible makes manifest the end. The Bible is our nourishment. The Bible is our nourishment. Look, if you want, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what it says down here in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished up in the faith. I want to tell you something, that's the Word of God. Being nourished by the Word of God. This is our nourishment. You know something, not many of us have missed too many meals. And we would feel pretty upset if the wife didn't cook a supper for us or whatever it may be. And we would think ourselves ill-used if we had to go without a meal. You know, but I want to tell you something. Not many of us really consider missing out on reading the Word of God as missing a meal. But yet it is our spiritual nourishment. Job said that he considered it more necessary than his food that he would eat. It's the Word of God, and we need to understand that this is the nourishment. This is what keeps us spiritually sound. This is what strengthens us spiritually. It's the Word of God. And if I remember years ago, Dr. Keith Knoss was my mentor, and I remember he told me after he realized I had surrendered to preach, he said, and some of you might not understand this, but he said, keep your knees on the floor and your nose in the book. and you'll do all right. And you know what? I understood exactly what he was saying. And listen, this is the nourishment right here. This is what keeps us spiritual. The O. And this may not be proper English, and you might be able to word it better than I can, but I like it anyhow. So, and I'm preaching, so it doesn't matter what you think. The Bible is God's overcomer maker. Amen? The Bible is God's overcomer maker. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is our faith? It's this right here, the Word of God. This is our faith. So it's God's overcomer maker. How am I going to become an overcomer? Well, get into the Word of God. Study it. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, get into the Word of God, make it a real part of my life. Don't go out into the day until I've read some Bible. Don't go out into the day until I've spent some time with God. Don't go out into the day until you've had some nourishment from the Word of God. Make it a real part of your life, a necessary part of your life. Somebody say, well, you just don't understand, preacher. I just don't have that kind of time. Make time for it. Really, there's nothing more important in your Christian life than getting into the Word of God. And you know something? You go into a day without spending time with God before you go into the day, you're headed for failure. You're headed for a bad day. You'll come home and say, boy, I don't know what happened today, but this is the worst day I've had in an awful long time. But if you go back to the way the day began, you're going to find out that you were the problem. See, it was your fault the day went so badly. And, you know, if we get our knees on the floor and our nose in the book, I guarantee you the day will go a little bit better during that time. So, to be an overcomer, we have to spend time in the Word of God. It's important. Matter of fact, it's not just important. It's necessary. We have to get into the book. We as Christians, you know something? We run into a lot of different folks along the way that are involved in different types of religion. And it's amazing to me. In our hometown, we have, I don't even know what they call it, but a Jehovah's Witness out here and at the edge of town. And they have 200 or 300 people that are part of that. And they're just crowded into this building. And I don't know what they're learning, but I do know this, that they know what they're learning. They've got it. They can argue. They can debate. And they know that if you give them a gospel tract, they're not supposed to read it. They're supposed to get it back to you or throw it away. I guarantee you they know what they're talking about. And it's the same way with the Mormons. When the Mormons, hey, we had the opportunity to preach to a couple of Mormons last year. And you know what? I'd preach that same message if they came back. I'd just find that message, preach it again. You know, I just preach Jesus to them. Because they don't believe in the same Jesus that we believe in. But they know what they believe. They know where they're at. They understand the things that they're trying to propagate. Many Christians don't know what they believe. Many Christians don't understand what they're trying to propagate. Many Christians are quiet because they don't know what to say. Why? Because they haven't had their nose in the book. They're not studying the Word of God like they should. Digging deep into the principles of the Word of God. Listen, we ought to make it so much a part of our life that it grows with us. I mean to tell you that we ought to praise the Lord and ought to be a natural thing. It ought not to be something that we build up and have to do. It's something that we just do. We ought to have Scripture, just be able to quote Scripture to people. And that should be a part of our day. The Word of God, being an overcomer, the P. The Bible is pure. Look, if you will, over here in Proverbs. Now, let's go to Psalms first. You can go to Proverbs if you want to, but I'm going to Psalms. I'm going to the 12th Psalm, okay? Psalm 12. There's two things found here, by the way. It's that the Word of God is pure and it's preserved, okay? But I want you to notice what it says down here in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is the pure word of God. Verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This is the preserved, pure word of God. Somebody say, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I just said it. Somebody say, you don't know that for sure. You don't know that you've got the pure word of God because you don't have the originals. I don't need the originals. See, somebody say, well, what did the originals say? What does this say? See, somebody say, well, you don't know Greek or Hebrew. Oh, that's true. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. I don't need to. What does the Greek or Hebrew say? What this says. I don't need to know those things because I know what this says. Somebody say, well, you haven't got an education. You're not a scholar. Listen, I don't need to be a scholar. This is the average man on the street, common, what is it, fourth grade level. I don't know if that's true anymore with education the way it is, but used to be fourth grade level. You can get into this and understand it. I remember I was at a Christian bookstore, and a lady came in. She said to the lady behind the counter, she says, I want a Bible. She says, oh, okay. What type of Bible would you like to have? Of course, they have all kinds of Bibles back here. And she says, well, I don't want anything with the these and the thous. I want something I can understand. Well, she sold her an NIV. That's what she sold her. But I got to thinking about this. The these and the thous threw her off. If that was the only reason I wanted it, something other than a King James Bible, that's a pretty poor excuse to use that, these and the thous. Matter of fact, I kind of like the these and the thous. Amen. I like that stuff. And there's a purpose for it, too. We don't need to get into that tonight. I'll get into that later. But this is the pure Word of God. It's preserved. And I believe my God is powerful enough to preserve His Word and bring it down through the centuries right here for us. And I know that some people think it's antiquated, that it's not for today. Folks, it's just as much for today as it ever has been. I have never found a book that adapts itself so well to the time that we live in. I remember growing up in the 60s, I found the Word of God fit in so well in the 60s. You know what I found in the 70s? That the Word of God fit in so well in the 70s. You know what I found in the 80s? That the Word of God fit in so well in the 80s and the 90s and 2000 and beyond. Amen? The Word of God. Next, the Q. Are we there? Yes, the Bible is quick. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, For the Word of God is quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The Word of God is quick. Now that means it's alive, it's living. In other words, this Bible will speak to us. If you want it to, it'll speak to you. This Bible reaches out to you. It'll grab you. And I know I've told this before, but you'll have to endure it again. But there's been times I've been reading the Word of God, and I'm sitting all by myself there in my office, and next thing I know, I've got tears coming down my cheeks because of something that's grabbed me from the Word of God. I've found that I've had to get down on my knees and confess sin that I've realized while I was reading the Word of God. Why? Because it's a living book. It'll reach out and do things to you. It's the Word of God. The R.
Brother Ben.
Yes, I am.
Quick. What verse of
the
Bible?
Oh, Hebrews 4:12. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could have looked around. I'm the only one up here. So. All right, next. Look over in 1 John chapter 5. Put your fingers to work here. 1 John chapter 5. And the R. We're clear down to the R. We're making good time. And I've still got 30 minutes to go. The R. The Bible is God's record. It's God's record. Notice what it says here in 1 John chapter 5. Down here in verse 10. We'll start reading there. We'll read down to verse 13. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written. Where did he write it? He wrote it in the record. See, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, verse 13 is a great verse, by the way. And I was talking to a Roman Catholic priest, and he told me that you couldn't know for sure that you were saved. And I said, well, my Bible says that you can know. These things have I written that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I mean, now that would make God a liar if you couldn't know it. Now how do I know it? Well, it's in the record. It's in His permanent record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you. That's the record. If we don't believe the record, what did the Bible say? We make him a liar. If we deny the record. You know, my mom was raised in a charismatic church. She was a Pentecostal. She was raised in a Pentecostal church. And my mom was saved out of a Pentecostal church and became a Baptist. But you know something that they drilled into her the whole time she was in that Pentecostal church? That she could lose her salvation. And after she got saved, she had struggles with eternal security. And I'll never forget a preacher sitting down beside her and saying, if you have doubts about what God has done for you, you're making him a liar. And you know what verse he read? This is the record that God hath given to you eternal life. And this life is in his Son. I want to tell you something. It's serious business when we start calling God a liar. God's not a liar. My Bible says, and I'm sure yours says the same thing in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. One of the things there that old preacher did when I got saved at the age of 8, before he'd let me get up, after I prayed, I wanted to get up and start shouting. He wouldn't even let me get up. He wanted to make sure that I understood that I had eternal life. He stressed that. He said, did you believe what you just did? I said, yes. I want to shout it and let everybody know about it. He says, wait a minute. It's eternal life. And that old preacher stressed that. He kept me down. He held me down there at that altar and told me that I had eternal life. Folks, this is something that's missing in this day and age. You know what? We've got this easy believism. You pray a prayer and that's it. Now listen, I believe in the prayer. Don't get me wrong. I do. But you got to repent of your sin. You got to turn from your sin. Then you call on Jesus. But it doesn't end there. I got eternal life. And that has to be stressed, that you have eternal life. That's the record. This is the record. How do I know? How do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm saved? Well, I'll tell you what. Do I feel like it? No, not all the time. You ask me tomorrow morning if I feel like I'm saved. Probably not, because I don't get out of bed well. I'm not a good getter-upper. Amen? Now, it takes me a pot of coffee to be awake, even. And it takes a little while. Sometimes a pot of coffee and a Mountain Dew I have to go through. But the fact of the matter is, I have to wake up. I don't always feel saved. Listen, I have back problems. I have some major back problems. And pain, I'm in pain almost all the time. I take over 2,000 milligrams of pain medicine every day just for my back. And boy, I want to tell you something. There's times my back hurts so bad. Are you saved? Heavens no, I'm not saved. Good grief. Quit asking me questions like that. But you know what? I know I'm saved, even though I don't feel like I'm saved. It's not because of my emotions. It's not the way I feel. It's the record. You see, the record tells me that if I have the Son, and by the way, when I prayed and asked Jesus, I asked Him to come into my heart and save me. And He came into my heart and saved me. He didn't leave. I might get to preaching here in a minute. The fact of the matter is that the record tells me that. That's what I stand on. I stand on the record, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The S. The Bible is salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1, 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's the Word of God. Praise God for the gospel. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
How many are saved? You know it without a shadow of a doubt. You're saved. Praise God. Every hand's up. Praise God. Somebody got a testimony about their salvation. Just say it. Say, I got saved. Let me hear it. Let me hear your...
I got saved when I was 8 years old.
8 years. Wow, we got saved same age. Amen.
I got saved on your porch when I was 8. I remember the date. It was August 28th, 2008.
And you got saved. I remember that. Boy, it was hot that day.
The first Bible you gave me, I still
have it. Amen. Yes, sir.
I got saved when I was 41 years old in a Ford Econoline van, and I can take it.
Amen. You still got the van?
Yeah.
No. Somebody else have a van. Yes.
I was almost 20 years old, and I was there for Bible study. I heard all about salvation. They showed me in the Bible, and I went to Bible study.
Hey. Aren't you glad that you're saved?
Amen.
Saved. You know something? You go out here, I guarantee you can go to a lot of houses around here. You ask somebody if they're saved, they look at you kind of, what are you talking about? I belong to such and such a church. But they don't know what it means to be saved. Most people have no clue what you're talking about. I didn't ask you if you're a member of a church. I asked you if you're saved. See, the two are not synonymous. See, salvation. The Bible is salvation. All right, the T. The Bible is the truth. The truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, Thy word is truth. By the way, if you look at that, it says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You know what sanctification is? It's separation from the world, and says separation to God. So we're sanctified to God through the word of God. Thy word is truth. I'm so glad we have the truth today. You know, people are seeking for truth. Many of them are seeking in the wrong places. You could probably watch the news and see all the people that have gathered at these political rallies. And and they're seeking for some truth. And if you're looking at Hillary for truth, you're looking the wrong direction, I guarantee you for that. And even in, I'm not so sure about Donald Trump as far as the truth is concerned. But you're not going to find it in a political party. I don't put my trust in the Republicans. I don't put my trust in the Democrats. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word, the truth. Then you, the Bible gives understanding. Look, if you will, here in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And notice what it says over here. And one of my favorite verses, Betty asked me what my favorite song was, and I say, well, every week when I'm at home, I say, this is my favorite hymn, and it's a different one than I had the last week, but this is one of my favorite verses, Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I want to tell you something. I was pretty simple and gave me some understanding. We praise the Lord for that. The Bible is our vision. Over here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29. And by the way, I'm going to spend a little moment here. I won't preach long here, but that most people have a wrong idea about this word vision here. Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, if you'll notice something, it almost seems like this verse is talking about two completely different things, but it's not. If you look at the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish, what's it talking about? If you go on, it says, but he that keepeth the law. What is the law? That's the Word of God. Happy is he. It's not two separate things we're talking about. The law and vision are the same thing. You know what they are? It's the revealed Word of God. It's the revelation. See, the vision, without a vision, without the revealed revelation, people perish. You see, without this book, people are going to go to hell. That's why this book is so vital and needed everywhere. It's this book. You know, a lot of times we have this. I remember a missionary coming through, and he was raising money to get films and different things to take to the mission field. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to those things. But we really don't need films and all these different things when we have the revelation, the Word of God. You see, the Bible, if we have the Bible in that language, we can reach people for Christ. Because it's this that's going to do the job. Where there is no vision. No, it's not where there is no Jesus film, or whatever the going film is. I remember back when I was a kid, I wasn't a kid, I guess, The Burning Hell came out. And everybody rushed to church to see the movie The Burning Hell. People are getting saved, they said, through the movie The Burning Hell. It wasn't the movie The Burning Hell. It was the Word of God that saved these people. They were saved through the vision. If there's no vision, the people perish. But if you keep the law, happy are you. So we've got to understand that when we're talking about vision, we're talking about the revelation. We're talking about the Word of God. And where there is no Word of God, the people perish. That's what this verse is talking about. And I know people like it much better to say, well, where there is no, I've got the vision. They like it better that way. But that's not what it's talking about. And I know I shattered a lot of you, a lot of your beliefs tonight, and I apologize for that, but somebody had to do it, so I was called upon to do that. The next, the W, the Bible is the Word of God. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians, and notice what it says in chapter 2, I believe it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is it? Yes, verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Notice what it can do. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Boy, it has an effect on you, doesn't it? The word of God. This is the word of God. Now, this is the letter everybody was worried about last night. The X. Let's just skip it. The X. No, I'm not going to skip it. The Bible should be our exhortation. Exhortation. While we're here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read a few verses here. Verses 1 through 4. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. How do we exhort them? Through the gospel. That's the word of God. Then we go on down, verse 13, we find out it's the word of God. Exhortation. Now, if you can come up with an X word that's better than that, I'll change that. The why. Look in 2 Corinthians, the why. Boy, we're getting down here. I'm going to have some time to play around with. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you will. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the why. The Bible is yay. Yay. Notice what it says down here in verses 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises, underline the word promises. What is that? That's the word of God. Promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Yay! The word of God. Boy, I like that. You know, this is the verse you can use when people say, well, the word of God is just so negative. No, it isn't. That sounds pretty positive to me. You know, I don't look at, maybe I'm a bit unusual, but I don't look at the word of God in a negative way. I look at it as very positive. And the word of God teaches me how to live each day in a positive way. I don't believe in positive thinking, but I do believe in a positive God. And I believe that God can get me through the negative things of this world. You look in the newspaper, it's all negative. I hate the newspaper. You look at the news, it's pretty negative. I hate the news. You listen to what's going on in this world, it's pretty negative. You know what's amazing to me? And I'm just going to touch on this really quick. But what's amazing to me is that some guy that has a name that's an Arab name goes into a bar and shoots 50 people and kills 50 people and wounds a bunch more. And our president stands up and says, well, it wasn't an act of terrorism. Then all of a sudden they start talking about stricter gun laws. Stricter gun laws wasn't going to change that one bit. That's not the answer to it. Listen, the answer is the word of God. You know, it's so sad that people in this world have missed the point. And they think that they can get to the answer without God. And that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Of course, we Christians are the problem in many, many people's minds. And we have caused so much heartache in this world. The Z. Actually, this verse that I'm going to take you to is not a very positive verse, but the Z is the zeal of the Lord. It's found in Ezekiel. It's that big book, probably right in the middle of your Bible almost, chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 13. It says this, Ezekiel chapter 5 verse 13. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. What is that? That's the word of God, right? Spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. It's the zeal of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to close this thing, but I want you to stop and think with me for just a minute before we close down. How important is the Word of God? If we can go A through Z in the Bible and realize that the Bible spends a lot of time talking about itself, how important it is in our life, how important it is in our church, how important it is. I remember years ago, I had coffee with a Roman Catholic priest. Matter of fact, we used to get together and talk quite often, and I remember I was talking to him about preaching the Word. He says, "Oh, we spend a lot of time in the Bible." I said, "Oh, really?" Yeah. He says, "Oh, yes. We read at least two or three verses every service." What? We spend a lot of time in the Bible. You see, they're more concerned about the traditions of the church and all the other things than they are about what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God, my Bible, is very important. And it's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. Well, that might not have been in the right order, but you got the idea. It's the Word of God. If anything's going to be accomplished in this church or the world, it'll be through the Word of God and the power of the Word. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we do love you and we thank you for this time that we can spend in your Word tonight. Lord, I pray that folks have had a good time as we've gone through the Word of God and seen how important it is, Lord. And I pray that we have a renewed vision of getting into the Word of God and making it so much a part of our life that we live it, we breathe it, and we share it with a lost and dying world. Please, dear God, make us what you want us to be. Draw us close to you through your Word, and have your will and way in this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. All right, I'm going to ask Betty to come to the piano and just play 308. I surrender all. You know the words. I trust a little bit. And let's have a little surrender. We've heard some things about the Word of God. Let's have some surrender to reading God's Word. We talked about a double offering, a double tithe month. We ought to maybe double our Bible reading again. And let's just go ahead as Betty plays through that, and as you consider again your relationship with this old book, let's have again some prayers that maybe we could just spend a little more time reading God's Word. If you have your Bible, open it up to Psalm 19. Let's sing that song again. Right out of the Word of God, praise the Lord. Psalm 19, we'll begin with verse 7 and use verse 10 for the chorus. Psalm 19 from your Word. The law of the Lord is perfect.